I want you to look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and then go to chapter 6, verse 17. In Galatians 2:20, the Bible, Paul is saying this, I am crucified with Christ. Can you say that out loud? I am crucified with Christ. Then he said, nevertheless, even though I'm crucified with Christ, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, go to Galatians 6:17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks, or the crucifixion, of the Lord Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject, death is the answer to life. Death is the answer to life, and I hope that you'll listen carefully this morning. Father, help me now to help. I want to be a blessing. Holy Spirit of God, flow through me. I pray everyone to sit up straight and listen. Every elementary student, sit up straight, put their hands in their laps, listen carefully. Every junior high, every high school, every college student, every young married couple, and even the old codgers. Father, I pray they'd sit up straight, listen, because you have something for all of us. So talk to us this morning, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let me tell you this morning why there's fussing in your life. And let me tell you why you make some dumb decisions in your life. And let me tell you why teens don't get along with their parents sometimes, and why parents don't get along with their teens sometimes, and really why some churches have troubles. Brother John, I want you to stand right in front of the Lord's Supper table and then look at me if you would. The Saint Francis Order had a custom. When they had a monk that proved to be rebellious, and Brother John's going to be our rebellious monk this morning, a grave was dug deep enough for a man to stand in. And then this rebellious monk or disobedient monk was placed in this grave standing up. And the rest of the order would take shovels and begin to throw dirt into the hole. The contemporaries would. And they would shovel the dirt in until it got up to his knees. And then they would shout, "Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet?" And if no answer came, then they would continue to shovel dirt till he got up to his waist. And then they would holler at him, "Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet?" If there was no answer, then they continued to shovel the dirt till it got up to his chest. Then they would stop and they would holler, "Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet?" If there was no answer, they kept on shoveling the dirt in till it got up to his neck. And then they would say to him, "Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet?" And they would do this all the way until his life would have been taken. It is said that sometimes the dirt got up to the very lips of the man. And they would shout, "Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet?" And then they would shout, "I'm dead. I'm dead." And then they would remove and release the fella from the grave. The Galatian people broke the Apostle Paul's heart. The Galatian church appeared to love the Apostle Paul dearly. In fact, in Galatians 4:15, the scripture says there, "If it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." Many believe that Paul had eye problems, and they loved Paul enough that they wanted to give him their very eyes. Probably the bind between Paul and the early church there at Galatia probably was closer and closer than any pastor's relationship ever had in the Bible. Okay, if he were a bald man, he would have said, if they would have said, "If it be possible, we would have plucked our own hair out and given it to you." Now, wait a minute. That affection changed. Paul traveled and preached away a great deal. And absence did not make their heart grow fonder in this case. And their affection changed. Some even turned from him whom he had pastored and loved, and loved him devotedly. And nothing harder to a pastor. You are my life, and I live for you. And you leave here tomorrow, and you'll have other interests. But you're my life 7 days a week. And there's something about this pastor-people relationship that's hard to understand unless you're a pastor. But Paul had such a close tie, he couldn't understand why they were doing what they were doing. And when some of those people not only turned on him from him, but turned on him, Paul couldn't understand it. And his first reaction was anger. And then after that, depression. And then hurt. And Paul made a decision. Here's a preacher who started a church, who pastored the people, who'd given his very life to them, and they had loved him devotedly, like much of the affection that you've expressed to me through these 26 years. And that's what Paul received. And all of a sudden, that was gone. All of a sudden, it was gone. All of a sudden, that love and devotion, that kindred spirit, and that love that was there back and forth, all of a sudden it was gone. Not all were kept the affection for Paul. It was gone, and rebellion had substituted for it. And Paul wanted to get mad. He felt depression. He felt hurt. And now you come to Galatians 6:17. Listen carefully. Henceforth, let no man trouble me, that I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul is saying, Jesus died on the cross for me. And then in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Say that with me. I am crucified with Christ. Paul, in essence, is saying, it got to my ankle, but I didn't die yet. It got to my waist, but I didn't die yet. It got to my chest, but I didn't die yet. It got all the way up to my lips, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that I've got to die to myself if I'm going to be able to live for people. I cannot let them influence me to quit serving God, and I've got to crucify myself, and I can't let people affect me. And so he finally hollered, I'm dead. I'm dead. Paul, in essence, is crying out, I'm dead. The dirt is up to my lips. I surrender. I'm dead. I'm dead. Listen, here's what he's saying. I can't be hurt anymore. You can't hurt a dead man. You can curse a dead man, and he won't curse you back. You can hit a dead man, and he won't hit you back. You can hate a dead man, and he won't hate you back. Paul said, I'm human, and my temptation was anger, and my temptation was revenge, and my temptation was bitterness, and my temptation was depression. And here comes the dirt, and it gets deeper and deeper. It's at my ankles, it's at my waist, it's at my chest, it's at my shoulders, it's got to my lips. And Paul said, I've just got it right up to here, and I am going to have to say, I am crucified with Christ, and through Him I live, and I'm dead. Say, I'm dead. You don't sound like it. Say it again. Louder. Louder. Now, when you get to that point in your life, let me tell you something. You begin to live. But death must come before life can come. And unless you die to yourself, you're going to spend fussing the rest of your life about things that don't amount to a hill of beans. You'll be fighting with your mom and dad, and one of these days she's going to drop dead, and you wish to God you'd have some sweet memories and sweet things to and a good relationship. Same thing with your dad. I'm just saying to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, let's learn what Paul learned. Paul said, okay, when it was at my ankles, I didn't think much about it. When it got to my waist, I didn't think much about it. When it got to my chest, I was still angry. When it got to my shoulders, I was still mad. But boy, when it got to my lips and I saw it was about to consume my whole life, it wasn't worth it. And then Paul hollers out, wait a minute, oh Galatian people, you may be foolish, but listen to me, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, from henceforth, no man is going to take my joy from me. Well, I hope somebody's listening. The dirt may not be there yet, but it'll get there. Paul said, from henceforth, or from this very moment, I am dead. You will not trouble me anymore. I will not hate because I'm hated. I'm dead. I'll not seek revenge. I'm dead. I'll not be depressed. I'm dead.
He said, no man shall trouble me. From this point forward, no man is going to trouble me. No man shall disturb me. From this moment forward, I'll look to God and not man. From this moment forward, I'll respond to God and not respond to man. From this moment forward, my eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. The dirt has hit my head. I'm just about to die from this revenge and this hurt. And I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead. From this moment forward, I'm going to love them that hate me. From this moment forward, I will not be troubled. From this moment forward, I'll not be offended. From this moment forward, I will not be hurt. From this moment forward, I'll not be depressed because I'm dead. Hey, husband. Hey, here comes the dirt. Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? It's at your ankles. Are you dead yet? It's up to your waist. Are you dead yet? It's up to your chest. Are you dead yet? It's up to your shoulders. Are you dead yet? It's up to your lips. Are you dead yet? Somebody, somewhere. Listen, if I could take a husband and wife and just get one of the two to say that I'm going to die to myself, you'd have a great marriage. There's no sense in this business of fighting back and responding back. She got me, so I'm going to get her. And boy, she does this, and you do this, and she does this, and you do that. And boy, you spend the rest of your life fighting with each other, and your kids live in a hellish home, and your marriage is a hellish thing. It shouldn't be. You ought to get to a point in your life when you say, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. Dead men don't fight back. Dead husbands don't fight back. Dead wives don't fight back. And I don't mean kill her either. But preacher, my wife hollers at me and fusses at me. Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? The best thing you do, some of you fellows, you'd learn this. I keep telling you all the time, you don't listen. Why don't you keep your mouth shut? Why do you fuel the fire? There's no man that can out-fuss a woman. I don't know what it is about a woman's mind, but good night, when you get in a fuss, you women can think so quick. You're like Muhammad Ali. You're float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And I don't know where you get this from, but man, I'm not going to argue with Mrs. Gray. She's too smart. I'm witty, but I'm halfway there. But I'm not going to fuss with her. You women can bring up more stuff that happened back in 1957. On a Thursday afternoon at 3:15 in the afternoon. And us men are so dumb, we don't even know if it even happened. In fact, I'm beginning to believe it didn't happen. Now, the best thing that you can do is understand it. What good? Why don't you decide to say, I'm dead. Dear God, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Boy, that'd make a difference. Wives, are you dead yet? Oh, but this guy I'm married to, some most stubborn man ever. No, he's married to a stubborn one. Okay, but he's a man. Men are supposed to be stubborn. Don't ever tell a man to take the garbage out. Don't do it. Offer him pancakes and sausage and eggs and stuff. And then say, the garbage, I think the garbage is getting filled up here, sweetheart. Are you dead yet? You won't have to leave him if you'll die. You won't have to divorce him if you'll die. Are you dead yet? Wives, your husband is harsh. Your husband is mean-spirited. He's unaffectionate, you say. Well, what can you do? You can die. Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? The dirt is at your ankles. The dirt is at your waist. It's hitting your shoulders. It's gotten to your mouth. When are you going to holler out, I'm dead? From henceforth, from this moment on, no man is going to affect me. It's Jesus Christ and myself. And that's what God's people ought to say. What can you do? Are you dead yet? I say to couples who fuss and fight, if just one of you would die to yourself, you'd make it. If just one of you would die to yourself. Paul was a very sensitive man. Most preachers are. Most preachers hurt easier than people think that they do. Most preachers feel deeply because of the very calling that God's placed on their life. And Paul said, I don't understand it. You turned on me. And yet at one time you would have taken out your own eyes for me. And that kind of love has turned to scorn. But Paul said, the dirt is up to my lips. From henceforth, no man trouble me. I'm dead. I'm dead. I'll not fight back. I'll not fight with hate. I'm dead. That's what's going to happen. I'm not going to fight. I'm crucified with Christ. You see, your greatest need is to die. Because death
is the answer to life. Dead men can't fight back. Dead men don't talk back. Dead men don't retort. Die to yourself. Die to yourself. Are you dead yet? Hey, dorm men, are you dead yet? Hey, dorm ladies, are you dead yet? Can you picture that monk as he's standing in that deep grave, and here comes the dirt being shoveled in, and the dirt gets a little higher, and they holler, are you dead yet? And the dirt gets a little higher, and they holler, are you dead yet? And the dirt gets a little higher, and they holler, are you dead yet? And then finally it gets up to the lips, and he realizes a few more shovels, and I'm out of here. And then all of a sudden he hollers, I'm dead. I'm dead. Then they release him and let him go. You'll never be free of bitterness until you die. You'll never be free of revenge until you die. You'll never be free of hatred until you die. You'll never be free of discouragement until you die. Hey, church member, are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? Get your feelings hurt easily? Is that what happens to you? You're not dead yet. You want to retaliate on people? You're not dead yet. Listen, somebody somewhere will get the idea. This is living in hatred is not the way to live. You know, you could smile and you could joke and you could enjoy life and you could even enjoy your mother-in-law. Listen, somewhere in here, God's people are going to have to say, hey, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Are you dead yet, husbands? Are you dead yet, wives? Are you dead yet, teenage boy? Are you dead yet, teenage girl? I'm saying surrender. The burdens are being shoveled on. The dirt is piling up. And holler, quick. I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead. We don't have to fuss as husbands and wives. We don't have to fuss as parents and children. We don't have to fuss as sisters and brothers. We don't have to fuss as staff members. We don't have to fuss as preachers. We don't have to fuss. We don't have to fuss. Somebody's going to have to say, I'm dead. Now, let me give you four thoughts and we're out of here. Four things Paul died to. Number one, he died to his own plans. He died to his own plans. He died to his own plans. All of the epistles that he wrote, Galatia was the first place that Paul visited. His first missionary journey took him to Lystra, but he wrote no letter to the church at Lystra. He wrote no letter to the church at Derbe or Pamphylia or Iconium. But his second missionary journey took him to Galatia, and that was his first letter. And he loved them dearly. And it was his first love. Thus it was his first hurt. And thus it was the first time folks had rebelled against him. And Paul was hurt deeply because he loved deeply. And I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for someone that didn't get hurt because that shows that they're not loving. And if you love, you're going to get hurt. And so that's just a part of it. And that's what happened to Paul. But what did Paul do? He died to his own plans. He said, I'm dead to my own plans. I think of Grace Rice McMullen, who Dr. Rice's daughter, who was engaged to a fella and she was going to marry. And before they got married, he made this statement. I'll be so glad when we get married. And she said, why? Will you be so glad? And she said, because it'll get you away from Dr. Rice and all his strict standards. Oh, my. He shouldn't have said that because she turned him down right then, gave the engagement ring back, said, I'm not marrying you. I'm not marrying you at all. I'm dead to myself. I'm dead to myself. I've given myself to Christ, and I'm not going to live that way. Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? Viola Walton at the Sword of the Lord, Dr. Rice implored her as a teenager in her late 20s. A doctor wanted to marry her, and so he proposed. And here's what she did. She went to Dr. Rice and said, Dr. Rice, how long do you want me to work for you? And Dr. Rice said, well, Viola, I'd like for you to work for me as long as you live. She went back and told this young doctor that she would not marry him, that she believed her calling was to work with Dr. Rice and the Sword of the Lord. And she did. And now she's in her 80s now, late 80s, still faithful at the Sword of the Lord. Why? Because she died to herself. Now, I'm simply saying this morning, look, you better die to your plans, because if you rule your life, you'll ruin your life. That's a good statement. Y'all write that down. If you rule your life, you'll ruin your life. God knows what's best for you, even when it doesn't seem like it. But when you rule your life, you'll ruin your life. Somebody somewhere ought to say, I'm going to die to my plans. It's not what I want. It's what He wants that makes. Go ahead, manipulate, and finally get your way. But when you do, you're going to find at the last there's bitterness there when you get your way. Now I say quickly, number two, He died to His own feelings. Not only died to His own plans, He died to His own feelings. Slap a dead man. He won't slap back. Curse a dead man, he won't curse back. Hate a dead man, he won't hate back. Criticize a dead man, he won't criticize back. He died to his own feelings. Paul Rader on his deathbed with a raspy voice,
he told everybody that came to see him, don't feel bad for me. Paul Rader died years ago. See, I died years ago. I like that. Dr. Lee Robertson, what's his famous thing all the time? Have you died to self? Have you died to self? Have you died to self? Maybe that's why he was the great Christian that he was and why he had the great ministry that he was, because he kept telling God's people, have you died to yourself? Have you died to yourself? Ladies and gentlemen, don't let that rascal, that body of yours, rise back up and hate and have revenge and fuss. Oh, in God's dear name. You know, look, I tell you, husbands, what you'll do, just keep your mouth shut. If every time you open your mouth, you fuel the fire. Doesn't help a bit. Doesn't help a bit. I'm just saying, you die to your own plans. Paul died to his own feelings. Number three, Paul died to his own desires. It wasn't a matter of what he wanted anymore. It's what Christ wanted that made a difference. He died to his own desires. Number four, he died to his own will. He died to his own will. Not my wants, but his will now. Hey, look at Abraham leaving the Ur of the Chaldees, leaving everything, leaving his family, his friends, his country, his home, to look for a city who had foundation, whose builder and ruler was God. Why? Because he died to his own will. Throughout the Bible, when you see folks like Paul and others, they died to their own will. Somebody asked me, are you tired of all that traveling? A dead man doesn't get tired. A dead man doesn't get tired. When I find myself starting to say, boy, I wish I... Hold it. Time out. You didn't die to yourself. It's God's will, not your will. So I catch myself. That's why Paul said, I die daily. It's a daily battle all the time. Your flesh is going to try to rule you, and you can't let it happen. You've got to rule your flesh, and you've got to say, you're dead, man, you're dead. So they take the dirt and put it up to the ankles and say, are you dead yet? No, I'm not feeling the pressure of it yet. Gets up to the knees. Are you dead yet? Doesn't feel the pressure of it yet. It's up to the waist. Are you dead yet? Oh, begin to think about it. It's up to your shoulders. Are you dead yet? No answer. Up to the neck. Are you dead yet? Get it up to the lips. Are you dead yet? And then they would holler out, I'm dead, I'm dead. Now listen to me. There's no reason for you to feel all this pressure you feel from life. When the dirt starts coming in, the ankles die. Just die. Just die. You know, okay, here's a new word for you. Are you ready for this class? Here's a new word. Why don't we try becoming Christian? It's like, ladies, there's new words like stove, like cook. Your answer's McDonald's. Look, somewhere in here, have you had their McGriddle lately? Somewhere in here, you're going to die to yourself. Die to yourself. Do you know why you don't go soul winning? Because you don't die to yourself. Die to yourself. Look, if every husband, are you listening? Are you listening? If every husband would be on the lookout for the needs of his wife rather than on the lookout for his needs, you wouldn't fuss. If every wife would be on the lookout, are you listening to, is this working? If every wife would be on the lookout for the needs of her husband and not herself, you wouldn't fuss. Listen to this. Are you listening? If every teenager would be on the lookout for the needs of mom and dad instead of themselves, they wouldn't fuss. Wouldn't fuss at all. Nor would you pout. That's why some of you adults right now, are you listening? Are you listening? That's why some of you adults right now, you sit up and look like that, you're a pound, because you're not getting your way. So you think the bigger the face you make, the more God's going to say, oh, that poor thing, I think I'll just go ahead and give them what they want. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Let a kid come in and slop down on the couch and kick his shoes off and like that, and like that. You think, oh, let me take you out for some ice cream and pizza. Is there anything I can do for you, sweetheart? No. You know what I'd do? You know what I'd do? I'd yank them up and paddle their rear ends, what I'd do. Put her smiling. Stand up here. Listen, let me tell you something. There's an indentation. You think there's one there? There's one right there. And because of taking this, that was wrong. That was wrong. That hurt, didn't it? Put a diaper on that thing. Now, here's the thing. I've taken this finger, and every one of my kids have an indentation right there. Right there. Smile at me. Put a smile on your... Smile at me. Now, you call that child abuse all you want to, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to have a kid in my house walk around pouting all the time. Put a smile on your face. Good night, you're living in America. Good night, you got it made. What in the world are you griping about, complaining? Smile at me. You say, what if it's a fake? I don't care. That's God, you're not going to walk around me with your chin dragging on the ground. What's your problem this morning? I don't think you've died to yourself yet. You know, when people say hurtful things to you, if you're dead, doesn't matter. If they brag on you and you're dead, it doesn't matter. It's just you and God. Wake up in the morning. Are you pleased with me? At the end of the day, were you pleased with today? End of the day. Lord, what'd you think of that? Is the sermon okay? Lord, that truth you gave me, was it all right? Was it okay? It's just you and God. Just you and God. That's what made Dr. Lee Robertson, the great pastor, and Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. John Rice. They just walked with God. Dr. Rice one time called the president of the Bible Baptist Fellowship a heretic. Put it right in Dr. Zimmerman. He just let him have it. Head of BBF, leading the Bible Baptist Fellowship into heresy. Boy, the BBF got mad at him and wrote all kinds of letters to him. And here's what he said to Dr. Hiles. Why are they upset with me? This is Dr. Rice now. He said, why are they upset with me? I just told them the truth. It never offended Dr. Rice. It's just God and Dr. Rice. That's all it was. He called Dr. Lee Robertson trying to be the Pope of fundamentalism. Put it in headlines. Dr. Robertson canceled Dr. Rice. And Dr. Rice said, what's the matter with Lee? So he said to Dr. Rice, why is he mad at me? Why is he mad at me? I just told the truth. Dr. Rice was as innocent as could be. Hey, listen, Mrs. Gray and I went to hear him, Brother Hiles, and Brother Hiles preached on duty 13 times. We anyway, went up in Michigan to hear Dr. Hiles, Dr. Rice, and Dr. Rice, the lady that got up, this is back in the 70s, that got up, had a miniskirt on, and sang a special. Dr. Rice got up, and he said, well, now that hussy's through singing, I think I'll just go ahead and preach the Bible now. That hussy happened to be the daughter of the chairman of the deacon board. Now, Dr. Rice didn't understand why they got mad at him. Why are they mad at me? What are you like? Are you innocent like that? You and God? Why don't just let it be you and God? See? He said, henceforth, from now on, Brother Walters is not going to bother me. Henceforth, from now on, Brother Doss is not going to bother me. Look, somewhere in here, this feelings that you got on your shoulders, you better grow up and you better mature in the Lord. And somewhere in here, you better say, I'm going to die to myself. Now, if you work in the bus ministry, you better obey those that are over you. But you can't let the fact that they're trying to get you to do what's right cause you to be offended and get your feelings hurt easily. See? Same thing with mom and dad. Same thing with husband-wife relationship, boss relationship. Somewhere in here, I hope this morning that you'll say to yourself, I shouldn't have to get up to here. It shouldn't have to get up to here to force me to have to make a decision. Now, I would suggest that you just go right ahead and just say, I'm crucified with Christ. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, John. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Everyone standing, please. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, everyone's standing.